Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The whole season essentially comes down to this play for these two great teams. They'll roll, flip it. Got it. Oh, the ball was dropped. He had the two-point conversion in his hands. Andrews did not hold on.
Jim Nantz with a call on CBS Final Hour. Fist pump time on a Martin Luther King and Inauguration Monday. Also recapping what they call the best weekend in the NFL. Divisional round here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby, DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And Bobby, Mark Andrews' name, along with that fumble, now belongs alongside who?
Scott Norwood. We can go Blair Walsh, Jackie Smith, Ernest Biner. These are all the type of names that you're looking at with Mark Andrews because, I think 15 years from now, Mark Andrews is a three-time Pro Bowler. Mark Andrews was the reason last year when he was out that everybody's like, I don't know if Baltimore can challenge Kansas City because they don't have Mark Andrews. His reputation will in all likelihood now be he was the guy who screwed up against the Bills and cost Lamar Jackson a shot.
And does this get Lamar off? Did that drive beforehand kind of get Lamar off the, you know, playoff choker topic?
I mean,
label.
It's tough. Like in the moment, yeah. Like you'll see it. Like as the years go by, you forget it. You know, and also the way things happen in the games. Like, all right, remember he did have the fumble. You know, he did have the turnover earlier. So
and the pick.
So that kind of changes things. They were in a position that they were in part because of that fumble. So, I mean, yeah, like with the nuance, but you know how fans are when it comes to fans never care about context. They never care about nuance when it comes to legacy. It's very black and white. Either you win or you don't. That's the unfortunate thing about it.
John Harbaugh on the Andrews drop seen and heard around the world.
There's nobody that has more heart and cares more and fights more than Mark. We wouldn't be here without Mark Andrews. You know, that's what you say to him. So, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, destiny is a decision that you make, and it's a decision is how you handle what comes in your life. Now, Mark will handle it fantastic, like he always does, because he's a high character person. He's a tough person, and he's a good person. So, proud of him, just like I'm proud of all the guys.
Would you like me to read off, when you talk about the Lamar Jackson reputation, would you like me to read off my text that got you so angry last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would have this fight right now. I tweeted a fact. That's all I did yesterday. I texted playoffs.
People already are not liking you after that Kellen Moore segment, so why not?
Yeah, I know. Truth hurts, guys. Doesn't you can stick to your Twitters and your YouTube and your bloggers who will keep telling you like, oh, Ben Johnson's going to come here. You guys can live in that fantasy world. Playoffs. Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah, this set me off.
2-5 record, 14 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 64% completions, 4 rushing touchdowns, 1 fumble. Lamar Jackson, 3-5 record, 10 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 60% completions, 3 rushing touchdowns, and 7 fumbles. So I wasn't saying anything about that. I was just showing you statistics. We look at statistics all the time, Sean.
Yep. And as I texted back, so you're just going to totally, completely act like you did not watch the game, be a scoreboard box score loser. And he goes, you know, I'll do everything to fit my narrative. So
yeah.
That was the biggest play and blunder of the weekend, Bobby.
By the way, when you said, you texted me, you said you morph into an LCD when you want to, do you think Peyton had any clue what that meant?
No.
No idea.
No idea.
You thought he meant to write OCD and he wrote LCD instead because it's right next to each other on the keyboard?
Right, yep.
I could be wrong about what you meant by that. I was just assuming I knew what that meant. Lowest common denominator. That's what I thought it was. Lowest common denominator.
I mean, look. I mean, you could go stats. I mean,
don't give any attention to that. Do your NFL playoff recap.
It's stats. These matter.
Do your recap.
Well, where do you want me to start? Which one do you want me to start
with?
Travis Kelce or at the one thing we finally realized, and I hope it made everybody realize.
This.
It's just the quarterback, man. I've been saying it for years. It's just the quarterback. It isn't the coach. It isn't the GM. It isn't the owner. It isn't the culture. It isn't the draft picks. It's the quarterback. And you either have one or you don't. And if you don't have one, your only job is to find one. And Washington found one. They found one. And that's scary because they have the cheat code. They have the cheat code that happens that every team dreams of. The Cowboys had it, but they screwed it up because they still owed Romo $25 million at the time. But the cheat code is just get a free quarterback, and you got one, and they have one, and that's it. And none of this other stuff matters. The Bills were a train wreck of a franchise, and they got a quarterback, and now they're unstoppable. And the Bengals were never able to get out of their own way, and they got a quarterback, and they're in the Super Bowl the next year. And the Texans were literally the laughingstock of the NFL with their owner and the charlatan and then Nick Caserio, and you can't do anything right. And it ain't D'Amico, it's C.J. Stroud. They get a quarterback and back-to-back playoff appearances. Yeah, it gives you a chance. Like, teams can change coaches all they want, and they do. Teams change coaches all the time. And unless you have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. You're just spinning your wheels. Washington has one.
So this triggered me. This was your second gaslighting you did to me. Yeah, because first it was, oh my God, look at the lovely snow. It's awesome. When I thought you hated important things aside in inclement weather.
I do, but it looks good.
And then number two, and when you're like, oh my God, this is great. And then number two, last week you agreed with me about not wanting Kellen Moore as the head coach, because we doubted whether he could stand up there. And we were even like, we'll take Pete Carroll. We want Pete Carroll as the leader, as the CEO. And then in your email last night, I was getting triggered because it seemed like you were going kind of against that in mocking the leader, the intangibles. When I thought last week you became intangible guy. Last week you became leader guy.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying leadership doesn't matter. Of course it matters, but
I thought that was the opening rant and statement.
Yeah, none of it matters. None of it matters without the QB. Like, that's it. Like, at the end of the day, that's it. And the QB can overcome.
What about Hurts?
Leadership.
What about Philly? They have probably something happened.
I'm a little distracted here. I just let's go ahead. We'll talk during the break.
But not
I
think news.
There's just developments on my phone and weird headlines. All of a sudden, there's an aggressive Vegas betting line shift that has Brian Schottenheimer as a heavy favorite to be the head coach in Dallas.
Whoa.
He's minus 250. And I got a text while we were sitting here that I got very distracted, where somebody was like, I think this shoddy thing's getting real.
So that's improvement.
Which...
Did someone tell you to look at a Vegas line?
No, somebody just tagged us in it on Twitter as I was also getting texts.
He's the new favorite, Pro Football Talk, Florio.
Oh my God.
What? I mean, I shouldn't be saying what the hell, you know, I broke it.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't think it was like, go ahead, RJ, you talk.
That's all wild.
Right. Wow.
Kellen is plus 250.
Now, I think you were saying, you were leadership asking about stuff. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You're right, because I think Philadelphia, most people would say that they have the worst quarterback remaining. I don't even think it's close.
And early. It's early on Jalen, because we did this with Jalen, yeah, too. Better than Dak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the thing. So you know how, like, we always say that Kansas City is kind of, you can't really compare to Kansas City because they have Mahomes. I think Philly is a similar situation because they really are 1 through 53 the best roster, right? Would you not say that, Bobby? That they're probably the best roster in the NFL.
Who again?
Philadelphia.
Sorry, I keep looking at messages and stuff.
Philadelphia 1 through 53. They're
near the top. Yeah. I don't know if they're number one, but they're near the top.
They're just so different. They're run like as an organization. Like, they're so well done. I don't know. Like, I think Jalen is the one thing where you could say, like, yeah, he doesn't really, like, you could get away with a lot of guys there. Like, can you do the same thing with San Francisco? I mean, sure, sometimes. But before they got Purdy, you know, anytime Garoppolo was out, they had their downs. They did. There was times. I mean, it was a whole Kyle Shanahan only had a winning record with Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, Chop, you got to touch on this, which took place at the end of the Chiefs win.
And there are a lot of of people who are paying attention to that. That makes it a 9-point game.
World. Al Michaels is smiling right now.
Al Michaels is giddy. Wow.
So, that's a betting line right there. It was an 11-point game. They took a safety, and it went from 11 to 9. Now, the game went off at 9.5. The entire week, it was 8.5. And then it moved to 9, and then right to kick off with the 9.5. So, the people who got in there late, very late, lost on that one play. The others, the people who got there early, me, they won the game still. Most of the people, I think they said about 75% of the bets had it at like 8.5. And then you had a fair share that got it at 9. And then the late arrivers got screwed. Now the problem is, so the late arrivers are the guys like in Vegas. They're the fans that go there or they live there or they're the fans that just like, hey, we forgot about it. Let's go do it that morning. Unfortunately, that's a lot of people because a lot of people do wait to the very end because sometimes the line goes in the other direction. And if you were looking to bet Kansas City, you were thinking, hey, let's try to get it at, you know, 8.5 again. Maybe it comes back down. Once it went to 9, you're like, eh, that's going to come back down. It did. It actually went up. So there's a lot of people at the very end that did get screwed by this.
Wow.
Big time. And that's... That's a kick in the pants.
Did it make sense to everyone on why they did it? Why the Chiefs took the safety?
I didn't understand it. I mean, you had a 9-point lead, right? You had a nine. You had an 11-point lead, a 2-score lead anyway. What's it matter? Now, you still have a 2-score lead, right? Because 9 is still 2-score. And you just wait. You just took 10 seconds off the clock, and time is of the essence. But, I mean, you punt it away. They still got to get an onside kick and then a Hail Mary. Like, by the way, they got to run it back, and they get the onside kick, and then a Hail Mary.
Bobby is so frazzled right now. He can't even compute. It's almost worth... The sick part of me wants to see the Schottenheimer thing happen, number one, to be right, but number two, to crush his Kellen Moore dreams that he was just floating on after that past segment. 9:20, you were just on the phone. Bobby stepped away. And then the other RJ take we need to get to... The Superman throw and the other end of it.
Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game. An 11-yard touchdown. Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce. And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
Chiefs Radio with the call.
All right, so this is one of those like overreactions or not. And one of them was Travis Kelce is the best receiver to ever play in the postseason. He had 7 for 117 and a touchdown. Passed Jerry Rice for the most 100-yard games by any player in the postseason with 9. 14 straight playoff games with 70 or more receiving yards. Double the amount of the next highest, which is Antonio Brown with 7. In his playoff career, 2,000 receiving yards, 20 TDs. Now, Rice has a little bit more, but he's going to pass him, right? He's not the best receiver in the history of the playoffs. Are we crazy here? Jerry Rice played in the
playoffs. What? I'm very distressed. Sorry. Who? Yeah. Who are we talking about?
Travis Kelce.
Kelce's prolific, like his prolific numbers, he's up there.
He's great. There's no doubt about it.
He just went down all the numbers, too.
There's no doubt about it. Like, he's tremendous.
Y'all, get on the fan cam. If you ever want to see Bobby devastated, all y'all in the text and the commercial breaks, who he was trashing and going at, get on the YouTube, especially for 9:20. He is in another world. Let me say this about Kelce. I got you, Chubby.
Just
I'm
floored.
Here.
Because he's great. Nobody said he's not great, but like Jerry played in a non-passing era.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think of him as the greatest. I will say what he does in all these playoff games is like all-time light switch.
Yeah.
Like for him to just turn it on like this, though, what he did last year, I'll always remember that run where he was out there intimidating and he's like, just put it on my back. The numbers that he put up, it is legendary how he's just flipping the switch. He had 7 catches, 117, and a touchdown, a season-high 62 yards after the catch. It's his 14th straight playoff game of 70-plus receiving yards. That's the second longest streak in NFL history is 7. He gained 33 yards after missed tackles against the armpit after gaining just 18 after missed tackles in the regular season. And then Hellman, pointing this out. He averaged a career worst 8.5 yards a catch this year, 22.5 the other day, and that was with the fourth quarter still left to play. I mean,
he's great. He is. There's no doubt about it.
It really is like championship metal. With, to make Bobby even sicker, the duo.
That's right.
Tay-Tay and Caitlin Clark, loving life next to each other in Kansas City. How about that?
Look, I mean, it takes a lot for Patrick Mahomes to be my third least favorite person sitting in a stadium, but that we managed to get that with that game the other day, and so.
All right, let's give Bobby a moment. And come back with the development. Why did, and you got to get on with your Vegas people and find out what the heck is behind this. We may have a developing situation. And shout out to the new audience in the 9 o'clock club. Choppy is going to pick the national championship game. We need everyone's national championship game pick for the college title tonight. But why did Vegas just launch Brian Schottenheimer to the top of the list for next Cowboys coach? We'll cover it after this. If you decided on your day off to tune into the Monday edition of Sean and RJ, I think you are being rewarded. A developing situation after my tweet this weekend where I said that Brian Schottenheimer's steam was really, really picking up. There are people I know in the building who are absolutely in love with him. I just could never believe that Jerry Jones would ever name him as the head coach. I was like, okay. Someone else called me and said, you know, at the very least, think a ton of offensive control, but don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. My initial source said as head coach, and Bobby just saw a tweet. I want to give everyone their proper credit here, especially the Tolos who bring us all this information. It was Joshua. Joshua sent us the Mike Florio story that Brian Schottenheimer has just been installed as the new betting favorite in Vegas. DraftKings.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Something new?
No. On January 14th, 6 days ago, on DraftKings.
You're going to make me sick.
Brian Schottenheimer, take a guess.
Plus 10,000.
Plus 7,000. So 700-1. You could bet $10 and you would have won what? 700,000. Not 700.
Oh.
It'd be $7,000.
I'm physically ill. Why did I not take this Saturday? What was he on Saturday?
Wait. So he was plus 7,000?
Plus 7,000.
So if you bet 100, that's 7,000.
Yeah, $700. So you were wrong.
I'll give myself credit.
I'm distracted. I'm not that distracted.
I'm sorry. I don't think I don't think it serves of $10. I think it serves 100. So
Peyton's taking over degenerate.
He tried to sun Peyton just then.
My math doesn't work when it's with such low figures, Sean. I only bet $100 on these things.
Yeah, cheap try.
And $100 is 7,000.
All right, so DraftKings has put Brian Schottenheimer as the favorite at minus 250. Kellen Moore has dropped to plus 250. He was the favorite. Dion, initial favorite, has plunged to plus 750 with six others in front of him. So it would take a $250 bet on Schottenheimer to win $100.
He was tied with Jim Schwartz and John Fossil at plus 7,000 6 days ago. January 14th. Mike Tomlin was plus 8,000.
Can you see what it was Saturday when I found out?
3 days ago, it was plus 500.
And what do they allow you to bet max on that?
Everyone's different. I don't know. All right. Everyone's different.
Let's put the gambling stuff aside for a second. Bobby is shooketh. He stepped away from the last segment to get on his phone for a call, text messages nonstop. What can you tell us?
So I think part of this is related to just logistics. And I think that There's just a sense over there right now that this is not going to last into mid-February like we were talking about.
Dallas Morning News speculated.
I think the feeling is that they're getting closer to making some sort of a decision. So if they're getting closer to making some sort of a decision, that would not be Kellen Moore, who is still under contract with the Eagles and coaching right now because he couldn't be hired this week. And
have they officially interviewed?
If it was something where we're chugging along to a potential decision, that would seem to indicate only available individuals.
Unless it's they interviewed Saleh, and they're going to interview Frazier today.
And I think if you're chugging along to a decision pretty quickly, then you'd be saying, all right, we need to check some boxes here.
Right, but what are the chances that it would be Saleh then?
I don't think it is. I mean, it's possible. I think just some of the discussion I heard, they like him. And they interviewed, but I think there also was a dual purpose there to potentially go like, well, what would you think about potentially doing some defensive coordinator stuff here if we didn't make this? So
that makes me excited.
I think there's at least some dual purpose that exists there. But I mean, this definitely feels like the more people that I was talking to that it's, I'm not saying it's a slam dunk yet, but it feels like it's very, very real, like that he's right here in this contention.
Wow, this is crazy. Because we heard about this just now minutes ago. Last night at 9 o'clock, Sports Betting Dime posted that he was made the favorite at 9 p.m. last night.
So here's my follow-up for the gambling world. Is someone in Frisco talking to Vegas? Yeah.
So basically,
You're telling me, how does that even get set up or coordinated? Why would someone in Frisco be talking to the books?
Vegas basically has an insider with every sports franchise, and that's how they know injuries before anybody else. Like when, have you ever noticed?
Do you think that Jerry and Steven, like, they know that, and like everyone's fine with having that info to Vegas?
I'll say this, and it's not.
I'm just curious from a gambling standpoint.
Yeah. But if you here's what I'll say, if you had heard this, you started hearing this when Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you started hearing this Saturday, that gives a time for a game of telephone to potentially, like, clearly there's discussion that's occurring that I would imagine they're going to be in that sphere.
They're
going to have people in those circles that, even if it's not coming directly from them, they're going to be in enough circles to know, all right, this is what's starting to, you know, leak out of there.
They have people, like, basically in every city that they place games in that are just keep an eye on what's going on. Like, it's... Their network is, their web is massive. But you know, think about it this way, like, you know, when the next Mavericks game, right? If you don't know if Luka or Kyrie is going to play, you don't know that until what, 16 minutes before the game. That's when the lineups come out. If you ever notice, Vegas has already changed the line.
Yeah.
Before that, they know the lineups before.
So if I on Saturday morning put down $5,000 on Brian Schottenheimer to become the next head coach, would I get flagged? Would I get investigated? Would they take that bet?
I don't know if it was like plus 7,000. Probably not taking that bet. That's too much liability.
Like $1,000?
It's a lot of liability.
You're telling me it was plus 7,000?
Plus 7,000. So now they might.
So I bet $1,000 at that, that's $7 million? Then I got to pay out
7,000. It would be 1,000 times.
1,000 times 7,000.
7,000. Yeah. I guess.
They would have looked you up, and they would have saw you were a host in Dallas and been like, okay, what does this guy know? They would have done
some
research.
Would they have accepted it? Would they have to accept the bet? All right, all that gambling stuff, ask your people. Actually, don't ask them, because I don't want to know that I could have done it. I'll jump off this, out this 11-4.
I think it would be 700,000. I don't know.
Yeah, we're done listening to you on math. Never mind. All right, let's talk about, this is shocking. This possibility is shocking.
And I think it
still
is a possibility. I don't think anything, I still don't have enough that I've seen where it's like, oh, this is happening. Like, I don't have enough there yet, but it's enough that it's like, I think there's a genuine.
The fact that he's at the top
here.
Of the board this morning is shocking. We've already gotten there.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be paid to use words here. I'm having a hard time. It's unfathomable.
Yeah, it is.
Unfathomable.
Uncomebackwithable.
It is unfathomable that this could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, Vegas really does a good job with betting lines. With this, a little bit less.
Because there's no reason to get Brian Schottenheimer hype bets.
And
there was a reason for Dion bets. There was a reason maybe for Witten bets, right? To sucker the public.
Yeah.
Like this, the fact that he's up here, the fact that this is a possibility, what would the city do? What would you do listening right now? You just got Dan Quinn and the Eagles in the NFC East Championship game. You now officially have the longest conference title drought in 30 years. You had Deion Sanders flashing. You had Jason Witten. You had Bill Belichick. You got Ben Johnson. You got Aaron Glenn. And the possibility of Brian Schottenheimer being
It's nuts, man. It really is. It really is.
I'm not like
maybe
trying to think
floating this. Huh? We see this at colleges all the time.
What?
We see this with colleges all the time.
Yeah,
they,
what?
They float a name.
Oh, to test?
They test. They test the waters.
I mean, if you follow 105.3 SS this weekend, you would have gotten your answer back.
They float it.
Disgust and anger and disbelief from the fan base over the weekend.
I would not want Brian Schottenheimer calling plays. Brian Schottenheimer, like we talked about earlier today, Brian Schottenheimer as a CEO, motivator, leader, gets high marks from them. They like him a lot. I would think that he'd want to be pretty heavily involved in the offense, though. And so that would give me some pullback on it, because I'm not as big of a fan of some of his offensive philosophy that we've seen over the years. I think he's a great motivator. I think he's a great leader. I don't trust how that offense would look.
But, you know, the question about Kellen Moore, the Yahoo piece, all these executives, they love Kellen, and one day. Well, none of you hired him. All right? Don't tell me about the labor pains. Show me the baby. None of you hired him. Well, that's nothing compared to the experience that Brian Schottenheimer has had in the league, and no one hired him.
Right. No one's hired him.
Now, let me say this. Let me say this just to be totally honest.
He's been in more conference championship games in the last 15 years than the Cowboys.
I don't know Brian Schottenheimer personally. I don't know much about his personality whatsoever. So just dismissing him and saying he wouldn't be a good head coach, that would be semi-ignorant, because I don't know the guy.
We have no idea.
I haven't done enough homework, because, hello, no one freaking thought this was in the galaxy a possibility. I'm just coming at it from the public reaction and what it's going to be. As you've said many times, and you're right, you should not make your decisions based on that. I'm just saying the National Football League has seen Brian Schottenheimer for a long, 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 long time, and he's never been a head coach.
Yeah, look, he might be a great coach. I have no idea. He might turn out to be a fantastic leader. Everybody likes him. I think his dad was probably the most underappreciated head coach ever.
Yep.
He was really, really good, and he just never won, and it happens. But this is a time in this fan base is... This fan base has never been in a situation like this ever, where they've gone this long without success. And you have to sell this. And that should not be even in the top 10 of reasons to hire a coach, but unfortunately it is.
So after I sent out that tweet about shoddy love and interest Saturday morning, Jimmy Johnson, who I don't speak with, trust me, we don't have beef. I don't have any relationship with him. Jimmy went on Fox and said this.
This decision is tied directly to the quarterback, Dak Prescott. He signed a $240 million contract, got a no-trade clause. He's had tremendous success in this system, so it doesn't make sense to bring in a new offensive system. The two key figures here, Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator for Dallas, you know, and like I said, Dak's done a great job in that system. The other key figure is Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. He is very close to Dak. He was a coordinator prior to Schottenheimer. Now, Jerry, he could surprise us with a decision, but I think those two key guys are the ones you start with.
Here's more from Florio, Pro Football Talk. Here's why Schottenheimer makes sense. Dak wants continuity. He doesn't want to learn a new offense. If, as it appears, McCarthy has gone simply because he and Jerry couldn't agree on the length of a new deal, why not bump Schottenheimer up and keep it going? Here's why he doesn't make sense. Now 51, he's never been a head coach at any level. He has never been a serious candidate to be an NFL head coach. He has failed as an offensive coordinator in multiple NFL stops. It would not be an inspired hire, to say the least, but it would give Jones someone who would be sufficiently grateful for the opportunity to not complain about the owner's habit of conducting multiple interviews on radio per week and post-game media scrums and treating the workplace like it was an amusement park. This is developing as we speak. Let's get the reaction from... You got something else?
FanDuel just made Brian Schottenheimer the favorite, too. So, like, all the
it's
books
just,
are
It's just DraftKings. It's not out. I just talked to my guy in Vegas. He said none of the casinos have it yet.
Let's crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece about the Brian Schottenheimer development and pick the national championship game tonight as well. Next.
Goff has time. Throws. Oh, that is picked off! That is picked off by Quan Martin! 25-20! 15, 10, 5, pick, 6, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Quan Martin!
And the Dallas Cowboys now own the longest drought in the Woo-hoo! NFC when it comes to making a conference championship game.
Hey, did you know it's also the 7th longest drought in the history of the NFL?
Is it?
Yep.
Wow.
So don't take that away from them.
All the fellas are in here. Kevin Hagelin, Mike Bassick, and Corey Majors.
How long before we can become the first longest drought?
I think we're still like a decade away.
Browns have been 89,
but
maybe?
But isn't it, well, I guess it was 91.
I'll double check.
I mean, we can do it. I think there's a strong possibility.
I was listening to y'all's show this morning. It feels like the Cowboys think they can do it too.
I don't think the rest of my life they're ever going to play in an NFC Championship game. And I think I have approximately 40 more years to live. Like, I mean, I could get obviously.
I thought you said something was going to happen religiously.
That's a good point.
I think it could. Okay. But let's just say that doesn't happen. I think if I just have, let's say,
if you don't get raptured,
I have a normal life. My parents are right around 70 right now.
Okay.
If I get to live, you know, my parents' life, let's say, I don't think I'm ever going to see the Cowboys play an NFC Championship game again.
All right, let's make sense of this developing situation. It's only happening in Vegas, but Vegas a lot of times knows. Out of nowhere, Brian Schottenheimer.
Oh, wait. What do you mean Vegas knows? I saw you post on, what was it, Saturday? That you were like, look out. So I'm not giving credit to Vegas. I'm giving credit to you.
Thank you.
For making this happen.
Thank you, Kevin Hagelin. I appreciate it. Hold my hand again.
Do you hear that, listeners? If it happens.
This is a sad one.
Do you hear that, listeners? If it happens, Kevin wants you guys to all thank Sean for it.
Smart move. Very smart.
Vegas is instilling Brian Schottenheimer out of the blue as the new favorite to be Cowboys head coach. Corey, please make sense of it.
Well, there. He and Mike get along. Mike Bassick.
Oh,
they got along famously whenever we interviewed him.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah,
yeah.
2 years ago, Mike wasn't there last year. But yeah, 2 years ago they sat down and like by the end of it, I thought they were best friends. So that's one positive there. The other thing is he's familiar with the personnel and Jerry Jones and the working organization. Like that's other than that, I don't know. He didn't call plays. He installed plays, kinda. I'm not sure what his role was or what impact he made so much that they're like, we got to have him as the head coach.
When was the last time he called plays?
I don't know.
Seattle?
What do you mean? He's the offensive coordinator. I know.
Seattle Jets.
I'm trying.
Seattle probably.
I wasn't here for. I wasn't here. Well, I'm gonna put that on the back burner. Bassick.
Yo.
Give me the Jones mentality towards this.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
I think that they're furious that Washington made it to the NFC Championship game and that they are going to stay up all night, every night, and they're going to start work, and it's going to be 24 hours of straight work until they figure out what's wrong with this franchise and how they can make it a Super Bowl winner again.
But Brian Schottenheimer is a possibility?
Yeah, because he's in the building. Yeah. He's like, hold on, we can't hire Kellen Moore now. Let's take the guy that's in the building.
Shoddy. Yeah, that's it. Young Shoddy.
Yeah, they can't do this to me. They can't. You got rid of Mike.
They're going to.
That gave me an unbelievable joy. I got Belichick.
But they didn't want to get rid of Mike.
I know.
He'll be a better coach than Mike.
They got rid of Mike.
He will. He absolutely will.
I got all these names and toys out there, and you're going to go possibly with an NFL OC retread.
Is that this worse than Kellen Moore for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, give me Kellen now.
Does Bobby, I mean, I know this is an unfair question. Do you think if Shoddy is the head coach of the Cowboys the next 5 years, they make the playoffs 3 out of the 5 years?
I think their roster window is closing. I tell you this, I don't think they lose to Green Bay last year. Okay. I put Green Bay all on the guy who was preparing 53 guys who came out there and were like, we don't want to play football today.
So let me get back and talk to you about this.
I mean, it's not just my opinion.
Okay, well, yeah, Brian Schottenheimer's worth a 30 or 40 point difference, but
preparation is
just work the phone. Right, work Roberts. the phones. I know why they have to do this. I understand it makes sense, but it also is giving me a bad taste. It's ticking me off hearing all this for fitting Dak, and I get it. I know why. I know there's $60 million, but making the next head coach for Dak Prescott, that's infuriating me. Because I'm like, I don't care what Dak thinks, and I don't care what Dak wants.
Don't undersell Dak's contract either. Remember, next year it's $89 million, not $60 million. And when they tell you they're going to flip the switch, where does that money go? Because every single one of his salary cap hits is higher than $60 million.
I was not here for, you know, Chan Gailey, Dave Campa with the hirings. Can anyone recall, like, the last similar type reaction that this Schottenheimer move would cause for the fan base? Is there anything else you can compare it to or think of or remember?
But the issue is, I know it didn't go really well, but with Dave Campo, everybody liked Dave Campo. I'm not saying that we're all like, we're going to go back to prominence, but I do think it was kind of cushioned by the fact that everyone's like, he seems like a nice guy.
And people, I mean, people thought he was a good defensive coach. Yeah. Like, yeah, people didn't anticipate when you're hired. Nobody viewed that as like a favor hire or anything at the time. They thought, oh, that's a good coach. Okay, that makes sense.
And you were 5 years off of being the world champs.
Like you had some equity.
5 years. Yeah. That was when you were, okay, we haven't won the Super Bowl in 5 years. Yeah. But there was still like, hey, Jerry's kind of effing this thing up, right? And everybody's kind of like, I think he is, but he does have 3 championships. Like,
and they just made the Joey Galloway
trade. He'll figure it out. He'll realize that he's screwing this up sooner than later. Okay. And here we are.
So not comparable to this feeling right now.
Because think about it, too. Like, I feel like people were really underwhelmed when Mike McCarthy got hired and he had won a Super Bowl. Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah, because everybody in the hiring cycle.
Everybody in that time was like, well, it's all Aaron Rodgers. It was never McCarthy that was the reason for that. Yes.
Ron Rivera was a possibility.
Yeah, Matt Rhule was in that.
You know, the other thing that becomes painfully obvious, if this happens, if this happens, it's only in Vegas, is that they don't give a rip about what anybody thinks. They wouldn't give a rat's.
They go down their own path, no matter what.
Nothing.
Right. Truthfully, they shouldn't.
Right.
They should. Why? They shouldn't care whether they could sell this to the fan base. They should care that this is the best thing for them. And if they truly believe it's the best thing for them, I mean, we could disagree.
Wait. I'm seriously asking. Do you mean like convenience of the Jones family, or by them do you mean the organization? Because I think they think this is the best thing because he's in the building. And he's like, hey, this will be easy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know that we could separate them, the organization, from the Jones family. But, yeah, I mean, like, if they went through the interview process and they're like, this is really the best guy, fine, whatever. It's just hard to sell. Yeah. And, they can't, that's the problem. Like, selling this to the fan base shouldn't matter, but we know it does. We know it matters.
I just got a text. My guess, Schottenheimer is Wade Phillips. Witten is Jason Garrett.
I could see that.
Does Schottenheimer allow for your succession plan? See, sign up for that.
What did I say, bridge gap earlier? It's a good bridge gap. It's a bridge to Jason Witten. If he's hired on staff, we all will see that coming. Everybody will know that's coming from a mile away.
Nobody wants Schottenheimer. This is how Witten can come in and kind of be the understudy for two or three years is... There's not a team in the NFL who wants Schottenheimer as either their head coach or offensive coordinator. Right. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I'm not saying that he can't be a good head coach.
Yeah.
But when you hire somebody nobody wants, because if you're Kellen Moore, there's no way in crap that I'm putting Jason Witten on this staff. Hey, will you put this guy on your staff so 3 years from now we can have him take your job? No.
Right.
No. I am wanted. And I have a job people want me to stay at. I have a job that people might want to elevate me to. I'm not putting Jason Witten on my staff.
Right. Now, this way, it's like, if you're Brian Schottenheimer, you're just like, here's $20 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay you $5 million a year or whatever, and you're just going to kind of babysit Jason Witten, and you're going to pass it off to him in 4 years.
Almost, he's our Chris Woodward.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do it.
I'll just say, and the... Jones, there's plenty to criticize them for in the way they do their organizational structure and things like that. The whole, like, you're being forced to bring assistants along with you. I don't know that there's ever been an NFL head coaching hire who got to pick every single one of their assistants. Every organization makes you bring
guys.
Yeah,
but a successor. There's a difference name specifically.
Yeah, it, but I mean, there was a time where Kellen was assumed to be the successor and he got driven out. And so, without it being named... Everybody is asked to carry certain assistants over in every single job.
Yes, but I don't know how many Jason Garretts there are in every organization where, you have to look over your shoulder.
I just think in general, whenever you see like there were people on Twitter this week going like, how about let the head coach pick his whole staff? It's like, but that doesn't happen. That's not just Dallas. That's every well-run organization. You get saddled with, well, you got to take the offensive line coach or you got to take the defensive coordinator. Like, that's every job.
So I just want to make sure you're being clear. The Joneses are doing it like 31 other owners when it comes to hiring a head coach and then the staff that is underneath them.
Yes.
Okay.
Corey, what else is coming up?
guys.
Corey.
Which one to ten stunt, one to ten stun level? Are you 10?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You look good.
Yeah, this is one of those where I'm just like, it just didn't ever occur to me.
I don't think with this organization anything can actually be a 10.
Man, that is an intriguing hypothesis. I might be with you on that.
It's like a Portnoy pizza score.
This is a 10. This is a freaking 10. Only in Vegas. Only in Vegas. What's coming up?
Yeah, we'll talk about the playoff weekend. And the crap is happening. So, yeah, that's the crap is happening.
Watch Schottenheimer come here and win back-to-back.
What's in baseball nuggets, Mike?
I talked to Chris Young for a while this weekend. I talked to Josh Young for a while this weekend.
And how the Dodgers continue to cheat the system.
Man, they got to close the loophole.
I think that's the issue, honestly, in baseball nuggets is...
There's going to be a strike.
Signing, or lockout, whatever. Signing Kirby Yates is going to be very tough.
Back tomorrow with a recap. Oh, everyone's national championship winner. Choppy, tell us who and why.
Ohio State and take a minus 8.5.
All right, we're back tomorrow. The KMC Masterpiece is next.